In liturgy, that word might come afresh to each one of us today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be to us, even this day, a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths, leading us to Christ, to receive him once again and to follow in his steps. In whose name we pray. Amen. So the first passage of Scripture, no need to turn it up, really. It should be quite straightforward to hear, although the implications are pretty solemn. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed in time for mortals to die once, and after that face judgment. Bit sad they miss out the birth bit. Kind of swips to the next two epochs, to death, and then the third epoch, the time of judgment. But there is an appointed time by which we will die. There's an appointed time by which the curate's second child will arrive. There is life. It starts, it ends, and then the epoch, of course, the judgment. The second passage of Holy Scripture, as we've just heard read to us, is from the book of Ecclesiastes. There are different styles of scriptures, gospels, simply put, good news, the presence and person of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We understand what gospel is. It simply is good news. This is cheer and brightness as the Son of God appears. There are gospel writings. There are law writings, the first five books of Holy Scripture, the Torah. These are the standards, these are the benchmarks by which we are meant to live. The other section of Holy Scripture is wisdom literature, enabling God's people who want to experience something of the good news of living, which is found, of course, in Jesus, in order to keep the pattern of the law, the standards. How can we be wise to get the standards that bring us safely to the good news that Jesus has promised? Wisdom literature is Proverbs, 31 chapters, the Song of Songs, some great wisdom there. But then we have today the perplexing narrative of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters. And the particular section we're looking at today is a poem. If you don't mind the tautology, it's not a particularly poetic poem, and I don't think it's a particularly great one, actually. It's not one I'm going to take away and read on holiday and have sorts of lovely, mellow feelings inside. It's pretty stark. But like all good poems, there's no real conclusion to it. It's meant to be read so that it reads us and you kind of think about it. But this particular poem works in such a way that unless you get, as it were, the person who wrote it right, you could be in for a really hard time. You wouldn't even want to read it in church, frankly. Why has it been read? Time could easily be seen as servitude. You're locked in a prison. You're just doing time, dutifully, grudgingly, going through each moment of every day. Well, that's it then. I'm going to get born, and then I've got to serve my time, and then I die, and oh great, there's judgment. Ecclesiastes, in its perplexing way with us, brings us almost to the point of the abyss. The most frequent word used in the book is meaningless. You can soften it by saying vanity. Well, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm vain or not, and it's just me. Everything else is meaningless. The founder of modern-day existentialism, Heidegger, rightly understood, if you think about your existence, and you exist, and you think, well, great, I exist, but the trouble is, if you read the philosophy and think about it even more, the backdrop behind you and your existence is, what else is behind me? And Ecclesiastes is daring to suggest, as we turn around and look behind us, that there might not be anything there. There's nothing. I've known depth psychologists pull the onion layers around, away, of people's existence, bring them face to face with the fact that it's just you and there's nothing else and no value and no meaning. Really good ones can have a whole audience in tears. Not got enough time for that this morning. We need to remember in whose book this is. It's a poem authorized, inspired by God himself, who is brilliant good news in Jesus Christ, who does have his standards as to how to live. And so positively from this poem, that is pretty stark, one way or the other. There's no particular conclusion given at the end of verse 8. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There are some lovely contrasts in this. There are some lovely varieties. And there is a lovely, wonderful author behind it, God himself. You could well think to yourself that variety is the spice of life. The conclusion of this particular fascinating piece of writing, that we might gain wisdom as to how to live, this is the third scripture, concludes at the end of chapter 12. The end of the matter is this: once I've pursued every avenue of pleasure, every avenue of activity, everything that life has to offer me under the sun, once I've looked at that and been scared witless even to death, if God's not there and it's all meaningless, if I posit the fact that God is there, this is the conclusion. And so the writer says, the end of the matter is this. The vicar's going to finish his sermon. All has been heard. Can't take any more. Want to get to Wimbledon and the football. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything secret, whether good or evil. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Four brilliant books of gospel, good news. No fear. He takes the judgment. We're his loved children with life there to enjoy and discover meaning in. I don't know if you know this particular prayer. It's introduced in a particularly interesting way. Was that 12 minutes or 30 minutes? I don't know. Let me read this. We'll have a moment's quiet. And I trust we gain meaning and the presence of God in our lives, even this day and all our days. I went out, Lord. People were coming and going, walking and running. Everything was rushing, cars, trucks, the street, the whole town. People were rushing not to waste time. They were rushing after time, to catch up with time, to gain time. Goodbye, sir. Excuse me, I haven't time. I'll come back. I can't wait. I haven't time. I must end this letter, I haven't time. Can't accept having no time. I can't think, I can't read, I'm swamped, I haven't time. I'd like to pray, but I haven't time. You understand, Lord, they simply haven't the time. The child is playing, they haven't time right now, later on. The schoolboy has his homework to do, hasn't time, later on. The student, the courses, and so much work, maybe later on. The young married man has his new house. He's got to fix it up. He hasn't time, later on. The grandparents have their grandchildren. They haven't time, later on. They're ill. They've got all their treatments. They haven't time, later on. They're dying. They have no... Too late. They've no more time. And so all people run after time, Lord. They pass through life running, hurried, jostled, overburdened, frantic, and they never get there. They haven't time. In spite of all their efforts, they're still short of time, of that great deal of time. Lord, you must have made a mistake in your calculations. There's a big mistake somewhere. The hours are, they're just too short. In fact, our lives are too short. You, Lord, are beyond time. You smile at us, fighting it. You know what we're doing. You made no mistakes in your distribution of time to men and women. You give each one time to do what you want them to do. But we must not lose time, waste time, kill time. For it is a gift that you give to us, a perishable gift, a gift that does not keep. Changes now to good news. If you're asleep for that bit, please wake up for this bit. This is the best bit. England are going to score a goal. Whee! Lord, I have time. I have plenty of time. All the time you give me, the years of my life, the days of my life, the days of my years, the hours of my days, they're all mine. Mine to fill quietly and calmly, but to fill completely up to the brim, to offer them to you, that of their insipid water, you may make a rich wine, such as you made once in Cana of Galilee. I'm not asking you tonight, Lord, for time to do this or time to do that, but for the grace to do conscientiously in the time that you have given me what you want me to do. Lord, in your grace and mercy, hear our prayer.